It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. This is the show I have been waiting for all week. Pizza farms. The idea intrigues me because heading to a farm and eating freshly made pizzas whose ingredients are grown right there sounds like a lot of fun. But I'm also a business nerd, and I love the fact that farmers have found a way to make, market, and sell a product all in one fell swoop. We've got three people joining us to talk about pizza farms today, and we'll map them out for you on our website at WPR.org. Have you ever been to a pizza farm? Which one is your favorite? What did you like about it? What's the best type of pizza you have had there? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Heather Sechrist runs Suncrest Farms in Cochrane, Wisconsin. Welcome to the program, Heather.
Good morning, Carrie.
I should note it's Suncrest Gardens Farm in Cochrane.
Right.
Okay, good. I want to get the name right here. So talk us through this. What is a pizza farm?
Well, a pizza farm is a farm that offers usually pizza for sale either on one or two nights a week on their properties throughout the season. But each of those farms is really unique, often growing a particular component of a pizza. So some of the farms are growing veggies, meats, some may produce their own cheese or even grind their own wheat for the pizzas.
So when does the season start?
Well, for us, we open the farm gates in May, and we serve our pizzas all the way through the end of September. Sometimes that season may go a little longer for some farms.
And you grow, what do you grow specifically on your farm?
Well, we focus on growing a lot of the different vegetables that we offer on the pizzas. The onions, garlic, tomatoes, peppers, basil, herbs, those traditional vegetables we grow in good numbers. And we also preserve a lot of those vegetables as well, so that when the tomato season isn't on yet, we are still offering those early in the season, or we roast the peppers and are able to use as much of our own farm's ingredients throughout the season. Other things that we offer are our whole hog sausage, bacon, chicken, lamb, etc. So we're a small farm, but we're able to incorporate a lot of different enterprises in here and what we grow, and then bring that all the way through in that farm-to-table offering.
So what you don't grow, I mean, you don't make the cheese, but do you locally source everything else?
We are very conscious about where we're trying to bring in ingredients and stuff. So we don't grow our own wheat, but we do have an organic stone ground mill in our same driveway. So very blessed to have that, able to use the wheat that comes from there. And our cheese is all from Wisconsin producers here in the state. And so really are focused on bringing all those local flavors in on the pizzas as much as we can.
We are talking to Heather Sechrist of Suncrest Gardens Farms in Cochrane, Wisconsin. Tell us where Cochrane is.
Cochrane is on the Great River Road, a little north of Winona, Minnesota, about an hour north of La Crosse, if that orients you even more.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep, and just a couple miles inland, I guess, there, as a bird flies from the river.
Okay, so talk to us about why you decided to get into pizza farming.
Well, I think of a pizza crust as really like a blank canvas, you know, where you can create just a limitless amount of pizzas from that. You know, your traditional pizzas that we're all used to versus like our seasonal inspired ones that are highlighting what is grown and changing throughout the garden season. So we have a staff favorite right now that's inspired from our favorite bruschetta. Mm. And so it uses those heirloom tomatoes that we grow in all their different colors and mixed with the tomatoes and garlic and balsamic and stuff. And so it's a very simple preparation, but it lets the flavors shine. And so for us, it's about the flavors in the food and not just growing the food, but like kind of connecting to our customers and offering our creations and our inspirations that we are raising out in the fields and bringing it in kind of a ready-to-eat pizza. And who doesn't love pizza?
I totally agree with that. So what you are open 2 days a week, you said?
Yes, we have new hours this season. So we are open every Friday and Saturday, 4 to 8:30, And those are our hours May through September.
Okay, so when you are not serving pizzas, you are simply farming, right?
Yep. The rest of the time is...
I don't know if it's simple. Let me take that word back. You are farming.
Right. And so, yes, there's the raising of the animals, there's the growing of the vegetables, as well as, you know, starts growing them in the greenhouse at the beginning of the seasons and stuff there. So there's not necessarily, there's a lesser season, not a completely off season, I would say. And one of the things that we've been doing this now for 13 seasons, so 13 years.
Wow.
And we've added a lot of different things over time, such as different appetizers and dessert options. And so as a way to utilize even more of the things that we raise on the farm, and, you know, as people are waiting, which can sometimes happen, there can be an hour or more wait when the weather's beautiful and everyone's kind of in that mode to come on out to the farm and enjoy the yards and things. It's a way that we can offer like an appetizer using, say, the lard we raise on the farm as the fryer oil, and then tucking in some of our other ingredients into, say, an egg roll or our herbs into a wonton. So even though they may not sound like they naturally just go with pizza, it's a fun other option that you can have to kind of round out your time while you're here.
Because that sounds really cool. So if I head up there, and I might actually because I know people in that area in Minnesota. So if I head up there and I want to go to your farm, what am I going to find when I get there? Do you have tables inside? Do you have tables outside? Do people kind of eat on the grass? Like, tell me about the sort of ambiance that I will find when I get there.
Sure. Well, we kind of consider it picnic-style pizza, you know, on the farm here. So when you arrive, many people will bring their own chair or blankets to enjoy a little nook in the yard somewhere. We do have an offering of, you know, some picnic tables and chairs outside. We have 60 tables inside our barn, or 60 chairs, excuse me, with tables in our barn. Okay. And so if there's a little chance of rain or something, you know, you can rest easy. The oven is still on.
Where are the animals? Hang on a second. If you have 60 tables and chairs in your barn, are the animals in your barn too?
No, our barn is actually kind of a people's barn.
Got it. Okay.
So we have a separate pole shed that may have some of the animals in. A lot of our animals are pasture-raised here on the farm, and so you'll find them in a variety of places on the farm, some kind of even surrounding the yards. So as you're sitting back, maybe listening to music, enjoying the valley scenery, you might see goats frolicking, you know, in the logs and stuff on the pasture, or can see the chickens, you know, clucking on the hillside there. So it's kind of idyllic.
Okay, so music, do you provide music on those Fridays and Saturday nights?
We have a lot of scheduled music. Most of our Friday nights have music scheduled. Some Saturdays do. So checking our website or Facebook updates on our music schedule is always great to keep up to date with any of those offerings. We have a pretty extensive playground area for the kids. When I first started this, my children were little, and it was a great way, you know, that you could go out to eat. I could envision going out to eat, and the kids can kind of run around and fill, and everyone could yet relax a little bit while they are out there.
So what is this sort of like strangest request you've ever had from somebody coming to your pizza farm?
Oh, boy, that's a good question. we've had people bring in, like, their own hot peppers before that they've grown on their garden and are like, can you cut these up and put them on a pizza?
Can you? Can you? Like is that legal in terms of health?
For them. Okay. Yeah, we wouldn't want every customer bringing in their basket of goodies, but we have done that on request before. And so otherwise, like when people come, our pizza boxes are these cool little green boxes, they're called. So the top of them actually turns into plates. And so we offer napkins. If you want more extensive, you know, cutlery than that, you know, you can bring in your own kind of things. But it's fairly casual on the farm here. And we do offer a pretty extensive range of microbrews and wines and local produced flavors as well.
Interesting. So you did this 13 years ago when your children were little. I know how that feels to pine over your children being little. But what was it that made you start this? Was it a business decision, or did you just were you just like, that sounds fun?
Let's see. Well, when I first started farming, I just have the 16 acres here. So I knew that adding value to whatever I was producing was going to be an essential component, you know, to that. So it was a business decision. Mm-hmm. But also, I was doing a CSA, and the pizza was just a nice other offshoot of connecting to customers and getting the foods that we grow directly to them.
We have been talking to Heather Sechrist of Suncrest Gardens Farms in Cochrane, Wisconsin, about her pizza farm. Heather, thank you for talking to us.
No, thank you, Carrie.
It's the Morning Show. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. We've all had bad, greasy pizza. We've all bitten into something that we wonder, how old is this cheese? Or did they just slap the dough together 10 minutes ago? Or have these people ever heard of flavor? Enter pizza farms. Pizza farms have been cropping up around the state of Wisconsin for a few years now. Everything that is used to make a pizza can be grown or made on the farm that they're selling it on or at a nearby farm. Farms are often in beautiful locations, and pizza farmers make the outfacing sort of restaurant serving part of their farms a unique and friendly dining experience. We're taking your calls today on this. What do you think about pizza farms? Do you like the freshness of the ingredients, the ambiance, the sort of picnic style of it, the music, the wine, the pizzas, the people? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. I should note that we're trying to gather a list of all the pizza farms in Wisconsin. So if you can just call in and say, yeah, I have one in my area, that would be really nice. We'll mark it down and we'll try gathering this list. Tony Schultz is with us next. He's the owner of Stony Acres Farm in Athens, Wisconsin. Tony, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on.
Okay, so let's orient ourselves. We talked to somebody who has a pizza farm on the Mississippi, about an hour north of La Crosse. Athens is where?
Athens is in north central Wisconsin.
Okay.
In the northwest corner of Marathon County, about a half an hour away from Wausau.
Oh, okay, cool. So then we can like dot that on our map. So before we start talking about pizza, let's talk about your farm. How long has it been around?
Well, my farm was homesteaded in 1948. My grandfather did that.
Wow.
My dad bought it in 1977, and I bought it in 2006, and we started pizza on the farm as a diversification of our operation in 2012. We made it open for public.
So what is it that you normally grow there, or what is it that you've grown there since 1948?
Well, I was raised on a 50-cow conventional dairy farm, like most farms in the state of Wisconsin that time. We were at the little red barn on our license plate, basically. My grandfather was probably more of a logger than he was a dairy farmer, but he had seven daughters, so they milked the cows for him. Mm. And when I came back to the farm, amidst the ongoing sort of dairy crisis that's been pushing small farmers to the wayside,
right.
I didn't want to play the commodity game, so we were inspired by the local food movement and organic food movement. I had gone to school in Madison. I had seen the farmer's market and the scene of that and the celebration of that every Saturday. I'd been a part of CSAs, and I was a member of a group called Family Farm Defenders. I was getting plugged into the idea of local markets and food sovereignty and the organic food movement, and that was all the inspiration. And I said, you know, Wausau can have this too. So I brought it back home to establish an organic vegetable farm, start a community-supported agriculture program, and most of the time, I'm raising organic vegetables in addition to raising beef, pork, chickens, maple syrup,
wow,
a lot of mushrooms.
Wow. And no dairy anymore?
No dairy. But I get, for my pizza farm, I get cheese from the most local creamery. And my neighbor, who is right through the woods, she is coming back from River Falls to start a micro dairy, and she will be one of my main suppliers of cheese starting next year. So that will be like less than a half a mile away.
Wow, that's really cool. So what's a micro dairy?
Well, a micro dairy just means few cows and you do a farmstead cheese, basically, is how micro dairies are. There's a couple of other micro dairies that have sprung up in Marathon County, but few cows, and they do milk, yogurt, market it directly, or have a few grocery store accounts around town. So local food, local cheese, trying to get out of the commodity market prices that are below the cost of production for a lot of dairy farmers. But sell local, and it's how dairy is more technical, and it's harder to lug around, and it's harder to bring into the local food game, but there's a renaissance going on with that, with micro dairies right now.
Okay, so talk to me about 2012. You started your... Actually, first I should say, we are talking to pizza farmer Tony Schultz. We are also taking your calls about your favorite pizza farm, 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. Talk to us about your farm. You started in 2012. How many days a week are you open? What's the season for you?
Yeah, 2012, we were probably open from June until October. I've expanded my season now. I'm open in mid-April. Kind of when maple syrup season ends, I start up pizza farming, and I take it until the first Saturday in November. So we're open until November 3rd. I'm open every Friday and Saturday from 4:30 to 8:30, and I also do private parties and banquets for people centered around the pizza ovens.
That makes sense. So you close when the sun goes down.
Yeah, I make hay when the sun shines, and I close when the sun goes down.
So talk to me about this maple syrup thing that you do. How many trees do you have?
Sure.
How much do you put out?
Well, always been part of the diversification of our farm. My grandfather did it. My dad does it, and he's the main sugar bush master, Ed Schultz. I help him. I lift heavy things, but... we make about 500 gallons of maple syrup a year, tap about 2,500 trees. It's something we do in the spring. And I like that to complement vegetable farming because it is a transitional season that leads into my greenhouse work and my field work on the farm. So it's a lot of work, but it's on the margins of my vegetable season.
So when you left school and you came back home and decided to do this, to do sustainable farming, was it more of a business proposition? You saw how farming was going, or was it a I'm passionate about this kind of decision?
Yeah, I love the family farm. I love my family farm because of its personal history and significance and meaning to me. But I love the economic idea of the family farm. To me, I'm like an old populist, and it's the it's broad-based and independent decision-making. It's economic democracy. It's lots of people on the land making decisions about their lives, making little innovations about how they milk cows or raise crops. And I'm a supporter of the family farm scale and model of agriculture. But to see what was happening to dairy amidst the consolidation and contraction of farms in the state, I thought, I need to do something else. I need to think creatively about, if I'm going to be a farmer, how I can bring my crops to market. And part of that was, the main part of that is serving a local market. And so we started with the farmer's market and continued to diversify what we could bring to it. CSA has been a great form of local marketing for us. It's allowed us to connect.
Tell our listeners what CSA means, because this has been mentioned a few times.
Right. Community-supported agriculture. People subscribe to my farm like you would subscribe to a magazine.
Oh, cool.
Instead of getting a magazine, you get a box of fresh, seasonal, organic produce delivered to your neighborhood. And then we have farm events surrounding that, so people come to the farm for an all-local food pancake breakfast, pumpkin pecan pie. And coming up this Saturday night is my favorite farm event of the year, the Barn Dance. We have local food, beer. I have a great band, and it's set in my aunt and uncle's beautiful 1930s post and beam barn. So,
we
have a great time with that. But CSA, community supported agriculture.
This sounds totally idyllic.
A local marketing business model. Yeah.
This sounds totally idyllic. So what made you go into making pizzas for people?
Well, with CSA, we wanted to build a hearth to have farm events around. And so we would cook around that for people to come out for these farm events, make bread, make pizza, make roast and cure, you know, meats in there. Our friends, Robbie Bannon and Ted Fisher, and if you haven't been saying this over and over on your show, they are the godmother and godfather of pizza farms. They are the first pizza farm. It started in 1998. We got to know them through the Farmers Union, and we heard about them and went out to their place to have pizza and to see it. And been to their place for a couple of Farmers Union events and land stewardship project events, and saw their operation and were inspired by how they managed it. And so we built the hearth for parties, but then it grew into a commercial operation open to the public like a restaurant.
And where are they? Where are the Fishers?
They're in Pepin County, Wisconsin.
Okay.
They're also on the on the western side of the state. But that's the cool thing is that pizza farms started in Wisconsin. It's a Wisconsin thing. It's an upper Midwest thing. I tell my friends on the coasts all the time, like, yeah, if you want to go to a real pizza farm, you have to come to Wisconsin. You have to come to the upper Midwest.
I think this is worth a trip around Wisconsin. Like, I am so intrigued by this idea that I'm going to, like, plan my vacations around the state to be able to go to pizza farms. So do you cook the pizzas? Do you hire people to cook the pizzas?
Yeah, I have two or three people who work with me during the week for vegetable farming. But then I bring on a crew because I've been making – I had nights in the past 2 years where I make 450 pizzas in one night.
Wow.
My average is probably about 275. I have a crew of about 12 people that helps me with, or 11 people that helps me with Friday and Saturdays. I am cooking the pizzas. I'm at the hearth, but I've got someone handling in the kitchen, hostess. This year, new to Stony Acres Farm, we started our own brewery. I'm raising the hops and raising the barley. And so it continues the farm-to-table theme, so it's farm-to-table brewery. We have micro brews on tap. And so I have a brewmaster as well, and bartenders who handle that. But yeah, that's something I'm offering this year at Pizza.
So this sounds like a kind of a large operation. Are you able to sustain financially having to pay the people who work for you with the people who come to eat the pizzas?
Yeah, I have a $15 an hour minimum wage on my farm for my field hands, and during the week, my dad and I are working and we're providing most of the labor, but I have two or three people helping me. But during pizza night, it's just there's so many people and I need so many people in the kitchen to hire them. Yeah, at pizza on the farm has been good for me financially, and I can pay the people who help me out pretty well. You know, after tips, it's probably like $20 an hour people in the kitchen are making.
We are talking about pizza farms today, and we are taking your calls, 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org. Tony Schultz, if I want to know where all the pizza farms are in Wisconsin, if I want to take this trip, how do I find them?
That's part of the magic of pizza farms. Like, sometimes it's like finding a morel in the woods or something like that. But I think the most comprehensive list right now is Travel Wisconsin, I think, but there's a couple of them. Maybe the Journal Sentinel has tried to put something together, but they all have like five or six pizza farms on them, and there's some overlap. Minnesota has taken the effort to put together a comprehensive list of their pizza farms, but Wisconsin does not yet have one.
Oh, sure. Another thing that Minnesota does better than us. Thanks a lot.
Well, I know. We got to bring the state back.
We do.
Come on. They're a good example in Minnesota.
Okay, fine. So my impression of pizza farms is that there aren't a ton of them around. I mean, like, are we talking about like 10, 12?
Yeah, probably 10. Yeah, something like that. In the state. And there's a couple in the west, a couple in north central here, and two or three on that. And I don't even know myself, but I feel like, 10, you could count them on both fingers.
Okay, so I'm going to undertake this effort to find all the pizza farms in Wisconsin, and we'll put it on our website at some point. So what is the strangest? Do people come to you with requests for a specific pizza, or do they come to you like with vegetables from their own garden saying, please put this on my pizza?
No, but sometimes people will bring me like vegan cheese or their own crusts. I've since started carrying gluten-free crusts because of the demand for that. I make four or five of those a night. But sometimes, you know, people won't understand the concept of a pizza farm, and they'll ask me for anchovies, and I say, I don't raise anchovies. They'll ask me for pineapple. I don't raise pineapple.
Right.
Well, everything comes from the farm, and it's totally seasonal. Some things I freeze, like cherry tomatoes, and roast them in the spring and hold them over for some pies to, you know, flavor them up. But everything comes from the farm. It's militantly local, and that's part of the terroir of it, the flavor of place, but it's also part of like sort of like the political idea of like of a pizza farm is that it's or the foodie idea of a pizza farm is that it comes from the farm.
So have you have you been to other farms, and would you recommend one that is not yours? If you know, if somebody
on the farm,
yeah, if somebody was like, you know, too far away from you, and would you know what farm would you recommend?
I recommend A to Z Produce in Pepin County, Wisconsin. Yeah, great farmers. Robbie Bannon and Ted Fisher came to the farm as chefs. They bake excellent bread. They're the godmother. They're the origin story of pizza on the farm. So A to Z Produce would be my recommendation to people.
And so is this like the largest part of your business? Talk to me about how the farm sort of like sustains itself.
Yeah. When Pizza on the Farm started, it was just, we sort of advertised through CSA members, and we had like 50 pizzas a night, and it was probably like 10 or 15% of our business. Now it's probably 65% of my business, and I have 150 member of CSA and go to the Wausau Farmers Market year-round, and those are both good to me, but Pizza on the Farm has become a thing. And the brewery, I consider that part of Pizza on the Farm, too. So
that is true.
If I have a three-legged stool of my business, then Pizza on the Farm is
so 65%
stool
of your business 2 days a week for roughly 8 months a year.
Yeah, I'm doing 58 days open to the public. So Friday and Saturday.
That's a pretty good idea. We have been talking about pizza farms. We are talking about pizza farms this entire hour. We just spent this segment with Tony Schultz. He's the owner of Stony Acre Farms in Athens, Wisconsin, which is in the north central part of Wisconsin. Do you get down here to Madison to do the farmer's market here every once in a while, Tony?
I do not get down to do the farmer's market, but I'm an alum of UW-Madison. I'm on the board of the Center for Integrated Agricultural Systems. You know, I come to Madison for feasting and parties and
as do a lot of people.
I love Madison. Yeah.
Tony, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to slice through some more of the pizza farm story in a moment. It's The Morning Show. Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Pizza farms have captured my imagination. They are an incredibly unique way of showcasing what farmers do. They make cheese and grains for dough and grow plants like tomatoes and basil. All of those things go on a pizza. They also often are in some of the most beautiful locations in the state. And this is the genius of it. They can combine those things to open a restaurant so people will visit, have a good time, eat well, and learn about how farms work. Are you a farmer? Are you thinking about getting into this business? We just heard from our last guest that there are about 10 or so in the state. Maybe there's room to grow. Give us a call, 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. We are talking now to Mary Falk. She is the owner of Love Tree Farmstead Cheese, south of Grantsburg, in Wisconsin. Mary, welcome to the program.
Well, good morning, Carrie.
So in my effort to map the pizza farms around Wisconsin, and I am going to do this, I need to know where Grantsburg is.
Okay, well, if you look at the profile of the border of this west side of Wisconsin, northwest side, Indian Head Territory, it creates the profile of the Native American's face.
Oh, yeah.
The nose. We're in the nose. Oh. So, or I should say in the nostril. We're about 85 miles south of Superior, Wisconsin.
Excellent. Okay, so we've talked to two people who are in the western part of the state, middle and upper, and somebody who's in the central part of the state. I'm going to find and actually map out these pizza farms because I'm kind of obsessed with this at the moment. So before we get people too excited, your farm is not in operation right now.
The farm is in operation. The
pizza part.
We're not doing right this second. Yeah.
So why?
The farm, we have a labor shortage here. So it's a pizza thing. Like last year, we just did it once a month. We primarily focus on our farmers market customers. Mm. And so we don't publicly advertise. And the whole idea is with a pizza farm is the same as with our cheese, is we're trying to bring the flavor of the Northwoods to you through our products.
Ah.
So we farm here on 200 acres, and half of it is a wildlife refuge, where we farm in a predator-friendly manner.
Which means what?
Which means we don't kill the creatures that are trying to kill our livestock. We farm with livestock guardian dogs. We have 8 lakes within 2 miles of the farm. There's a lot of water, and when you have a lot of water, you have a lot of wildlife,
right,
and a lot of creatures that follow the wildlife. So there's a lot of flavor on this place.
Yeah.
They have a lot of cool forages that the animals eat, and in order for them to access it, they need to get, down and dirty, and the guard dogs keep them from being eaten while they're doing that. And so it works, We don't have any attacks. We have creatures, and it's a great place to come with your camera.
Yeah, it sounds like it, actually. So talk to me about this labor shortage. Why can't you get people to work on your pizza farm to make and serve pizzas?
Yeah, well, first of all, we're 11 miles south of Grantsburg, Wisconsin, 20 miles north of St. Croix Falls. So the nearest town is around 10 miles away. But also, when they say God's country, everybody claims they're God's country, but we know where God's country is. And it's a little bit on the remote side, and we use intern labor. We're a pretty, a low input farm financially, which means higher input labor-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can't really afford to hire a crew of people when we know that the customer base is going to be sporadic because we're not in the middle or close to a city or anything like that. So we use interns, and interns are people that come in from primarily international, and in exchange for between about 4 hours of work a day, 5 days a week, they get free room and board. So we use these guys to water the animals, take the goats for a walk, help us chase cows, do whatever needs to be done. God, I'd love a housekeeper.
But they
have access to the environment, which is for kayaking, canoeing, hiking. So it's usually a very outdoorsy crew that likes to show up, and we have a lot of fun. But this is the first time in 14 years we haven't had any inquiries this year.
And by international, you're talking about immigrants who come over to work farms.
Yeah, we're talking about international tourism, primarily. Our number one tourists come in from France and from China.
Interesting.
And we also get Swedes and Spanish and Germans. But for some reason or another, I think because our proximity to Montreal and
the French really like to come because then they go up to Quebec, you know?
Right.
But, yeah, we haven't had any interns since January.
So maybe...
We don't have interns. We don't just get them for the pizza. They come year-round.
Right. So so maybe this is a visa problem. Have people told you that they just can't get visas? Or are people just not coming here?
They're just not coming. I think they're choosing Canada, Australia, New Zealand. You know, they're perceiving this as kind of a hostile environment. Not as, just, you know, our country's gone through some wonky times, and I think they're seeing it as kind of a wonky time to be here.
So I do understand.
And we're hearing this anecdotally from other places north of us that interns also for their resorts and stuff like that.
Oh, so like resorts along Lake Superior and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, if they're more financially set, they can bring in other people. We can't. We're more financially fragile here.
Right.
It's just Dave and I. So, you know, we're doing everything on our own. So we feel bad because we've talked to our customers and said, hey, we're still waiting. You know, because it's, you know, we've had some amazing customers that say, hey, we'll volunteer. We'll help out.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll come up for a week.
Yeah, and see, that's it. A week, I'd say, hey, I'll take you. Because it's the week, what people don't always understand, it's the week before pizza day that we need the help. And it takes about 40 to 50 hours to get ready for one pizza day. So it's a pretty labor-intensive venue on the farm. So, you know, because we're not always pristine.
Mm-hmm.
We're pretty rough and tumble here, you know, when we have customers come up, we explain to them, this is not, this is it. This is it. We may not even have the lawn mowed, you know. You're experiencing the wildlife refuge. You're experiencing what it really smells like to be on a farm with cows, goats, and sheep and other creatures, you know. But we allow people to walk through the wildlife refuge, as long as they're respectful, and they always are. You know, 8 years, whatever, we've had one person that we had to ask to leave. But they're just, it's really cool. You know, we tell people to play a game of catch, you know, bring your kites, you know, fly a kite.
Right,
turn
kayaks.
Turn off your phone. Experience what's going on around you.
Thank you for this, Mary. We have to go right now, but I very much appreciate this. I am intrigued, totally intrigued by your farm and your wildlife refuge. Appreciate you being on.
Yeah, and just if people want to see when we're going to do it, they can go to Facebook and look for Pizza by the Pond at Love Tree Farm.
Okay.
We give updates. And so if we do it this fall, we'll let everybody know there.
Okay. I will put that on our website. We are now going to Wisconsin Life. We follow Jimmy Vogley, a dairy farmer by day, blues musician by night.
I have an interesting dichotomy with my two lifestyles that either complement or become a problem with each other, depending on how you look at it. The farm was homesteaded in 1854. My brother and I are fifth generation. We started out with 340 acres, and now we're up to around 1,500 acres. The house is still here. It was built in 1920, so my older brother and two older sisters, we all were raised here. We milk roughly 200 dairy cattle twice a day. My job is an interesting one. I guess I'm kind of the know-everything, not good at anything, kind of a mechanic and fill in with spots, but mostly do a lot of field work, try and keep everything running as best as we can. I am also the band leader of the Jimmies.
Are you out there? We are the Jimmies.
We brilliantly named the band the Jimmies. We thought long and hard on that one.
We're just going to do some screwing around here. We hope you like it.
I play the piano in the Hammond B3 and do a lot of the singing and songwriting. Music has been in our family forever. My parents met at one of my dad's gigs. My mom still sings. We often call ourselves the Von Vagley Tramp singers, you know. Practically want to put on lederhosen sometimes. That's awkward. When you're out in a tractor, I always have paper and pen, constantly writing stuff down. Yeah, it is a great place. You can just shut everything off in terms of music and kind of put your mind into a different trance. As expected, they are very much two different worlds. They're similar in the pay structure. I am not buying new cars, being a blues musician and a dairy farmer, but I think both take an enormous amount of dedication and both take an enormous amount of flexibility. Anything could happen on any given day on the farm, and things change by the minute all the time. And the same is goes for live music. I can't say I've sung to any cows, no.
Thank you. The Birdness.
It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. We are hosting a series of interviews next with the Secretary of State's office. We're also going to be talking next about the U.S. Senate debates that were last night. It's the morning show. Stick with us.